This is Olive, and I'm 11 years old, and I live in Southside.
This is Cooper, and I'm 4 years old.
This is Elena. I'm 13 years old and live in Spickley.
This is Julian. I'm 14 years old and live in Highland Park. And this is the Kidsburg Podcast.
Hey there, Kidsburg Podcast listeners. Thanks for joining us for this episode. We love interviewing inspiring guests and sharing their thoughts with you, along with details on Pittsburgh gems you might not know about, plus honest answers to the questions we ask teens from the Pittsburgh area. I'm Christine Sorensen, an anchor at KDKA-TV and a Kidsburg producer, and I'm here with my friends and colleagues from the Kidsburg team.
We're glad to be here with you, Christine, and I'm Kidsburg's director, Yu Ling Chang. I was so glad to help interview Maureen Frew, the inspiration behind the Be the Kind Kid movement, for this episode.
And I'm Melissa Rayworth, the editor at Kidsburg.org, and I am so excited for us to dive right into this. We kick off every episode with a Pittsburgh gem, a really interesting place or organization in the Pittsburgh area that even some longtime residents might not know about.
That's right. So today we're going to be hearing about a nonprofit organization called Voluntots. Melissa, tell us about this Pittsburgh-born organization that's really all about volunteering as a family.
So, Christine, the story behind Voluntots is one that I think a lot of parents of young kids can relate to. Cami T. Coach, who founded Voluntots in 2021, decided to do this because she had grown up volunteering with her own mom when she was a young kid, and she knew that it had had a really great impact on her, so she wanted to do the same thing with her kids. But once her son turned 3 years old and she was ready to try to do some volunteering with him, she couldn't seem to find anywhere in the Pittsburgh area to volunteer with smaller children. So she created Voluntots, which organizes volunteer events where adults and kids of all ages can volunteer their time to make a positive difference in their community. Voluntots now organizes events not only in the Pittsburgh area, but also in Cleveland, which is where Cami's from. And you can sign up at their website to receive updates so that you'll know when events are coming up that they're hosting, so that you can introduce your young kids or grandkids to the important experience of giving back. They're often very busy during the holiday season, so you can look out for opportunities to volunteer in the weeks and the months to come.
Yeah, I love that Cami started this. I mean, I've interviewed her several times, and I just love when someone sees a need and fills it.
And I think it's so great that she is taking that notion that you do not have to be a certain age to begin volunteering.
Yeah.
You can be little and still be able to give back to your community.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of the events they do may have to do with, like, packing care packages. And even little kids can take a bunch of supplies and, like, put them all in a box and do things like that. So I love that she's thought through what are the types of activities that kids really can contribute to even when they're small. So you can find articles about Voluntots at kidsburg.org, and you'll find a link to the Voluntots website at kidsburg.org/podcast.
Pittsburgh is Kidsburg. You're listening to the Kidsburg Podcast.
We're excited to introduce our next guest, a beloved teacher in the Pittsburgh community. Maureen Frew recently retired from the Avonworth School District after 24 years of teaching kindergarten and maker education to elementary students, as well as 2 years as a maker education specialist at the Pittsburgh Children's Museum. She is the recipient of Chevron's Leader in the Classroom Award and the Emphasis Foundation Leader in Innovation Award. In 2016, Maureen launched the Jam Maker Club with 2 students. This club has since inspired the Be the Kind Kid movement, including their signature T-shirts, which has sold 175,000 across the world and has been the winner of the 100 Innovation Award. Maureen, welcome.
Thank you.
We're so excited to have you here, and we'd love to hear more about the Jam Club. From what we know, 2 students approached you and asked about creating a maker club. Can you tell us what exactly is making, and how does this fit into learning?
Absolutely. So making is at the heart of this club. These girls wanted to just do something after school, and we met and we started to make some crafts. And I decided that making really needed to be in the school. And so when you're a maker, you want to use your hands to create and build and explore. You want to actually do the activities with your hands. It can be anything from a young child learning how to use a brass fastener to an older child using a 3D printer. The idea is to let the kids be the inventors and the creators. It's not a set in stone project. It's not guidelines on how to do something, but it really is just the kids getting a feel for their own hands. I really believe that maker education is needed more now than ever. It was a huge push before COVID, and it kind of dwindled a bit, but I believe after COVID, it's really needed. Kids coming in really don't have the skills to use their hands. They struggle with simple tasks of cutting, pasting, gluing. And when you teach a young child how to use their hands with these simple foundational skills, then they're able to grow and develop as they age. They also see the power that they have with their own two little hands, where they can make something for themselves or something for the greater good of other people. Making is just more than a fun activity. It's a way for these kids to learn by doing. And when you learn by doing, you retain information better.
So you started with those two students. They were interested in making with you. And that grew into Jam Club, which is now at so many different schools. What do students do at Jam Club?
So in our Jam Club for 5 years, the kids met every Wednesday, and it was kindergarten through sixth grade. And every September, the older girls would present different organizations that they wanted to support. So the older children would go and research the organizations. They would come back and make presentations about the organization. And then as a group, we would vote on the 5 or 6 different organizations that we wanted to support throughout the year. So the kids had a handle of what the organization was about because they did the research. Then we as a group would brainstorm the different projects that we wanted to make with the kids. And of course, I had the final say because slime was always a nay. They mostly really came up with the projects, and then we decided how they would make it, how they would package it, how they would deliver it, how they would collect the money, and then how would we get it to the correct location. I used to have maybe 20 kids. It grew to over 100 kids. And so what we had to do then split up into different grade levels where first and second graders worked with me, third and fourth, they work by themselves, and fifth and sixth by themselves. And then I could meet them on a rotating basis. The kindergartners and first graders would always work with me to create a product that we would sell, and we would always donate all of our profits to our local Meals on Wheels. The older kids, third through sixth, would either work in groups or independently on a project of their choice. They decided what they wanted to make, how they wanted to make, and how they wanted to do it. And they donated half of their profits to a cause that they cared about. And the remaining portion went to the student. So twice a year, we held what we called entrepreneur nights, where the kids were able to come and sell their products. They had the great idea to always do it right at the beginning of December for Christmas ideas and right in the middle of April before school let out. It was truly two amazing nights in our district to see the ideas that the kids came up with and the response that our community did for our children.
And I've been to these events. They're amazing. Just imagine a room full of kid entrepreneurs, and some of them may have made acrylic bookmarks, or they knitted cactus plants, or made little miniature food for your dollhouse or to play with, right? I remember seeing all sorts of doggy treats or handmade soaps. I mean, it's just incredible what you see.
One little girl, she started plants in the spring, and people were able to come and buy all their flowers that were already started and all their vegetable plants that were already started. She sold out within 15 minutes. The kids really went above and beyond the call of duty. And another thing I'd really like to add, while they were entitled to get half of the profit, the majority of them gave their profit all to their cause.
And we love the giving component that JAM has created amongst kids. It's so amazing. And another movement you've created is the Be the Kind Kid movement. So tell us, how did that start?
So Julia and Amelia were two first graders that came to me one day and said, hey, can you stay after school to make crafts with us? And at that point in my life, my youngest had just left for college. So I kind of needed those girls as much as they needed me. We would sit and just hang out and do things together. Soon the word got out, though, and the group got bigger and bigger. One day, a kindergartner came into our meeting and with little tears in her eyes and a deep, deep voice and said, "Hey, kids are not being nice on our playground. They're not being kind to one another. Let's make signs and put them on the playground to help kids remember to be nice." At that time, the older girls had a buddy table and everybody worked together to create the signs to put on the playground. So a few weeks went by and my little friend came back again and she said, "Well, they ripped down the signs." And the older girls and we got together and they said, "Well, let's try buttons." So we made buttons and that kind of helped initially. And one of the older girls said, "Hey, you know what might be nice for the older kids is a t-shirt." So I was kind of apprehensive because at that point I probably had 80 kids and one little Cricut machine. And I thought, "Oh, I think I'm in over my head." But the kids all did research on what they wanted on the front. They talked to the kindergarten through second grade teachers to make sure any type of words we put on the shirt, the kids could read. And at the time, I'm not even quite sure they knew what a hashtag was, but they thought it was super cool. So we came up with hashtag Be the Kind Kid. I went and we got some super cheap shirts and we were in my classroom making these shirts from a Cricut machine, one after the other, just for the kids in our group. And so, of course, when other people see you wear them, then they would like them. But what was really the changing point is one night I happened to go to Chick-fil-A for dinner and a gentleman came up to me and said, "Hey, I'm an administrator in a certain school district. Could I get 500 of those shirts?" And at that point, I kind of knew we were really on to something. I asked him why, and he said it was such a simple message that resonated with everyone in his family. He had two teenagers, a middle schooler, and a kindergartner, and he felt that every one of them got the message. He kind of felt that we all start as kids, and what a simple way to get that message across to everyone. So with the help of so many people, local help and support, our group was able then to trademark hashtag Be the Kind Kid, and that leads us to where we are today.
It is really incredible that something you started just within your own school, your own community, has really become a global phenomenon. I mean, I think people all over the world are aware of hashtag Be the Kind Kid. How does that feel to you, and why do you think this has resonated so far beyond just your community?
I think oftentimes people don't put themselves out there to do something because they feel it won't have a big enough impact. Oh, I'm going to do this little project, but it will only help Local Meals on Wheels. Or, oh, I'm going to do this, but it will only help 10 people. But what I've found through the years of doing this is we maybe helped 20 people in the beginning, and the 20 led to 30, and the 30 led to 40. And it was so wonderful for the kids and myself to see the ripple effect that reaching out and helping others would be to come back to you. And people just love the shirt because I think at times we feel better when we help other people. And unless you get the feeling of helping other people, you don't understand it until you do it. And I believe when we help the youngest of our students have that feeling at a young age, then they're able to say, "Oh my gosh, I get that. You know, I did that. And boy, that feels good. Look, I helped that bus driver and I helped our cafeteria worker and I did this." And so when they get that feeling, they realize that they're really part of a bigger world.
That makes so much sense. We talk a lot at Kidsburg about looking for opportunities for people to volunteer with their kids. And I know there are organizations in Pittsburgh like Voluntots where even the littlest kids can volunteer. I guess beyond doing the good, it's interesting what you said, that parents can realize that it will have an impact on kids. If they get to feel how good that feels, that may really change the way that they conduct themselves and interact with other people as they grow. That's really interesting.
And I think that it also has changed a lot of parents. Every year someone will say to me, "We need a hashtag Be the Kind Parent shirt." We, of course, could go and trademark every kind of profession in the world. But I think we all start out as a child. We all start out as a kid. And we can all grow into that shirt. So I think it really resonates with people to show that, hey, kids are trying to do something good. And if my kid is really into this, then I really want to support it.
And how can schools who want to maybe create a jam club, how do they start? Where would you direct them?
So this is my favorite question. I was generously given a grant by the Grable Foundation to continue the Be the Kind Kid project, even though that I've retired. And I find it such a different avenue in my life now because I really have the time to devote to letting people understand that this is a group that truly wants to spread kindness and wants very little in return. I truly believe that JAM has a wealth of opportunities for our schools. The first thing that we can provide is something called a JAM-packed closet, where we will give a school district a $200 Amazon wish list for necessities that their students might need, something toothbrushes, toothpaste, combs, socks, hats, snack bars, whatever really resonates in your district, because every district looks different. You simply have to send the wish list to me and we send the items straight to you. In return, we send you a 6x10 sticker that you put on the closet where you put this and you send us a picture. That is all we want in return. Additionally, we can help kids start a Be the Kind Kid Club by offering funding and most importantly this year, support. I was truly never able to offer the support while working full-time, but now I've had the time to create a book that shows step-by-step what you need to do, what works, what doesn't work, and how I'm here to support you. Now, a new one this year is called Project Kindness, and through this project, we can fund kindness initiatives with the school. These projects could involve anyone in the school community. It could be a bus driver and a student. It could be a cafeteria worker and the superintendent. It could be a teacher and the school secretary. I want everyone to be involved in the community because I think oftentimes some of the most key people get left out, but they're truly the pulse of the building. So in any district, these possibilities are endless. In our building, it turned out to be a third grader, became very best friends with his bus driver. And at the end of the bus run, they were both very disenchanted with the amount of trash that was left on the school bus floor. And so they brainstormed together. Actually, they gave the idea for this Project Kindness. The third grader came to me and said, would there be a chance that JAM could support buying trash cans for each of our school buses if myself and my bus driver get them all on there and make signs? And so together, these two people who you don't think would come together, they got everything together and have since formed a real friendship in the process. And finally, the last opportunity that we can have is we can set each school up with a customized Be the Kind Kid t-shirt store. And oftentimes schools balk at this because they're concerned about the amount of work. And believe me, from a mother and a grandmother and a teacher that has sorted tens of thousands of t-shirts in her day, I get it. But we have streamlined it to where that the shirts are bagged according to student, according to teacher. It just really has to be a box handed to the teacher and the shirts are passed out. And this year, we're going to offer each school 10% of the total sales that we receive to use in any way they feel would best benefit their school. There's no judgment on how you use it. We don't want a written report. We don't want you to document anything. What we kind of like is a few pictures to show kindness in action in your building. In order for people to get involved, they simply need to email bethekindkid@gmail.com and express your interest.
You really have thought through all of this, and I love how kindness is growing everywhere, from young kids to the community members. So one last question for you, Maureen. As a teacher, what advice do you have for parents and caregivers?
I am now a retired teacher, a mother of three grown children, and a grandmother to three young grandchildren under the age of four. And I really thought long and hard about how to answer this question. And my best advice from all these years is to always be present with a child. And I know that that's easier said than done, because as a teacher, trying to give that individual attention when there's 25 other kids in the room and you thinking in your head, hurry up with this story, hurry up with this story. But looking back, when you take that time, you really make that child feel validated. Take the time to truly listen to your kids. Even though they might go off on these, what we believe are tangents, to them, it is their world. And what I have really found out is, it's not the big giant things that you do with kids that stick in their life. So many of my former students came back before I retired and said, oh, remember that day that you shared candy fish with me at lunchtime? Or remember that time that you showed up at my birthday party with balloons? Or it wasn't the big grand lessons that I planned or the great visitors that I planned. It was perhaps a handwritten note that I sent to them. Kids really love those things, and I wouldn't have believed it had I not seen it. And they know that your time with them, they were loved when you were with them. That will build such a strong relationship that, hey, this person was kind to me. I'm going to turn around and do that to somebody else as I grow.
That is such beautiful advice. And those simple moments are so precious. And I think not just for the child, but also for the parent and caregiver. I remember those moments with my kids. Maureen, thank you so much for joining us today on this podcast and telling us the story of Be the Kind Kid. Here at Kidsburg, we have Be the Kind Kid shirts too, and we wear them proudly. For our listeners, if you want to learn more, just email bethekindkid@gmail.com. Maureen, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, there was so much I loved about this. And first of all, just living in Pittsburgh and knowing the story behind the Be the Kind Kid movement, it's a really inspiring thing. And I have to tell you guys, even my high schooler, he has finally grown out of his Be the Kind Kid t-shirt. But the t-shirt he got, I think in like fifth or sixth grade, he wore for years. And as a message, that has just rippled out not only throughout the Pittsburgh region, but way beyond. Because it really does, no matter what age you are, it really speaks to everybody. Just the idea that, wait a second, if you could just be a little kinder today, and everybody else did too, imagine how that would change things.
Yeah, she has inspired so many people through the Be the Kind Kid shirts. But also when I did a story with her years ago in the infancy of the Jam Club, I was so inspired personally by what she did. And I know other people have followed her movement. I started a small club kind of like this, although on a much smaller scale at my kids' school. And it's just so cool to see the ripple effect that she's having.
That ripple effect is truly reaching worldwide here. But you know what I loved about Maureen's interview was her personal advice to parents and caregivers, that it's the small things that kids will hold on to, the simple writing of a note, you know, and it made me go, you know what, I need to keep writing those notes in my kids' lunchboxes and putting them in there, even if my kids may be in middle school and upper elementary.
Absolutely. And I loved when she said, let kids be the inventors. Like the fact that through all kinds of maker learning, whether what you're making is about doing good in the world or you're just making things to create, you know, maker learning doesn't have exact guidelines. It's not like this is how you do this right. I love that spirit of letting kids be the inventors.
And just always being present with a child. We keep hearing that as kind of a theme I'm seeing throughout our podcast now. And you're going to find links to the resources Maureen mentioned at kidsburg.org/podcast and lots of stories about the Be the Kind Kid movement, kindness in the Pittsburgh region, and all kinds of info about maker learning at kidsburg.org.
And, you know, we're aware of how valuable maker learning is for kids, so don't miss our weekly Maker Monday projects. At kidsburg.org, you will find more than 200 free Maker Monday projects, which you don't have to do on Mondays, by the way, with detailed instructions. These are art and science projects that you can do with supplies you might already have around the house, or you can get inexpensively at a dollar store.
And in a moment, we'll hear local teens share their honest thoughts on this question. What are you grateful for?
You're listening to the Kidsburg Podcast.
Pittsburgh is Kidsburg.
In our Tea with Teens segment, we ask local kids to interview their friends and ask questions that parents may wonder about. In this episode, we asked students at SLB Radio's Youth Media Center, what are you grateful for? Here's what they said.
Well, I'm definitely really grateful for my family because they give me a lot of support. Like, whenever I try a sport, my brother's always there to be like, you gotta try it, because he loves sports.
Something that I am grateful for is my family, the people around me. They respect me, they care for me.
Well, I am very grateful for a man. His name is Mr. Jason. He recently joined our family because him and my mom were dating, and he's a really nice guy. He's very kind with our siblings, and he's been just a guy that I could like talk to.
I am grateful for all of the supportive adults in my life. I am grateful for my enormous family and all the support that I have from the wonderful educators and counselors at my school and all the guidance that I get from the people at my church.
I am grateful for my shoes. The feel of new shoes are just like really good.
I'm grateful to be able to live in this generation, be able to express my thoughts and feelings. I'm grateful for basically everything that has come before me.
From the Youth Media Center at SLB Radio, this is Penelope.
I'm Zanaya.
Hello, my name's Lamel.
This is Angelina.
I'm CW.
From the Youth Media Center at SLB Radio, this is Felix.
It's been so great to hear about so much kindness and gratitude and entrepreneurship that makes the world better in this episode. And we've got plenty more inspiration and ideas that'll be coming in future Kidsburg podcast episodes.
That's right. And if you've missed any of our podcasts, you can hear all 12 of them at kidsburg.org/podcast.
This is Rocco. I'm in seventh grade and homeschooled. And this is the Kidsburg podcast.
And while you're on our site, be sure to sign up for our free weekly Kidsburg newsletter to learn all about the resources and events that can help you as you raise the kids you love in the Pittsburgh region and beyond. Thanks for joining us for the Kidsburg podcast. We'll be back in 2025 with all new podcast episodes, bringing you expert advice, inspiring stories, and tea with teens. Until then, we hope you'll visit kidsburg.org to learn about the resources and expert advice that can make the beautiful, challenging job of parenting a whole lot easier. We'll see you then.